Yet.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm go. Here.
Good.
He's there. And there's Kim. So we'll call this meeting of the Big Tent Committee to order for commissioners. We have Commissioner Thorburn, Commissioner Smith, and Commissioner McIsaac. Are there any other commissioners on the phone? Or my whatever this is called, the Zoom webinar? And then there's quite a few staff. Nikki, is it best for them to introduce themselves, or do you have it down, or how do you want to handle that?
They can introduce themselves. That's fine.
Okay.
Well, good afternoon, commissioners. Nate Pamplin.
And hello, commissioners. This is Rob Geddes. I'm part of Jeff Davis's strategic planning team.
Hello, commissioners. Carrie McCausland, Public Affairs Director. I'm also part of Jeff's strategic plan team, but I will also be speaking with you today about some public affairs updates.
Good.
Anyone else? Nikki, do we have members of the public on the line? And my secondary question is, should we have time at the end of this meeting, do they have an opportunity to ask a question, or are they muted?
They can ask questions at the end. We can unmute them. We just indicate they'll raise their hands. We'll just have them raise their hands.
Okay, so members of the public, if we have time, we'd like to hear your questions or comments. Don't know if we'll get there or not. And then also, Nikki, the way this, the computer I'm on, I can't really tell who has raised hands and who doesn't. So if, I'll try, but if you can help with that, that would be great.
Yeah, I can do that.
So we just had a wonderful hour and a half on habitat and ended with a discussion on riparian areas, which is a great segue to what we're doing here today. We are approaching the end of the first phase of this, of our strategic planning effort. And today's webinar is to give the commissioners the first deep look into what has been worked on by a whole lot of people, including and especially the people that are on this call. So I'm not going to talk much. I have asked Jeff to try to make our presentation entertaining because it's, you know, it's tiresome just to sit here and look at a computer screen, but also to ask that this, since this is so important and since everybody has to thoroughly understand what we're doing, to be patient with commissioners, because I'd like us to be as interactive as possible. If at any time during this presentation there are questions or comments, please ask them. And that applies especially to commissioners, but also to staff that are on the call. And then when we're finished with this part of the, we have two things on the agenda today, going through the initial planning and process on the strategic plan and then a public affairs update. I'm confident we can get through all that, but if there are people from the public, we will try to get your questions answered as well. Does that work for everyone before I turn it over to Jeff? Or how about this? Is there anyone that does not work for? All right, well, hearing none then, go ahead, Jeff.
Awesome, thank you. So I think we will have plenty of time for interaction. What we wanted to do today, we apologize for not having the initial draft in your hands prior to today, but we're trying, that's the case because we're trying to take a really prudent step, in my opinion, and make sure that we have staff review and comments that we can incorporate into the next draft strategic plan, and then we intend to put that in your hands. So what we did want to do today is really start to get, you know, not into the gory details, but get into enough detail so that you get a flavor of the process we've gone through, what went into getting the draft to where it is today, And then what's in that draft, and maybe finally kind of what you can expect moving forward. So we have a PowerPoint presentation. Admittedly, it's the same one that we used yesterday morning in an all-staff webinar. It was pretty decently attended, and it went pretty well, actually. So we're kind of excited about where we are. We also know, admittedly, that we still have some more work to do. The staff comments are flying in, and that's pretty awesome. Right out of the gate, we know in our attempts to write a plan that in 7.2 million people could see some version of what they care about in there. We spent a lot of time and energy on that, and we know that we need to, in the version that we put in your hands, make sure that hunters and anglers and our commercial fishers do not feel like we're walking away from them or they're any less important to us. So more work to do on that as between now and your screen so that we can walk through the PowerPoint. Again, this was for our all staff webinar, so we're borrowing that.
All right, and as a test, Jeff, can you see that?
I can.
All right, and is it okay to go ahead and roll into it?
Please.
All right.
So, Rob, if it's okay, I'll do the first two slides again and then have you walk through the details. So, as I just mentioned, really we're trying to provide you an overview of the draft, do the best we can without like absolutely having this in your hand so you could stare at it and navigate through it. We'll get that to you very shortly. We want to talk through how we got to where we are. You'll learn a lot about how many interviews we did, how much staff internal work we've done. We've got so many comments in all the interviews and workshops that we've had, including interacting with this particular committee. So we'll share that with you. This share the guidance for reviewing the draft plan. It might be helpful to you when you have the plan, but that really was intended for staff to help them understand kind of the format and some particular questions that you'll see that we ask them towards the end of this presentation. And then again, show next steps and we have answer questions at the end, and I think that's appropriate. But as Barbara mentioned, we would really appreciate as we walk through this, if you have a question or anything, let's go ahead and have it interactive so that we don't have folks waiting to jump in. And then in order to like meet Barbara's request, what I will do is I will do this PowerPoint presentation in interpretive dance.
Okay. That'll be fun.
I'll break myself. Next slide, Rob. So as you all know, the commission had multiple conversations with Director Suswin about, do we do a two-year plan? Do we do a four-year, six-year, 50-year, 100-year, 25-year, and where we all landed in that was moving towards a 20-year, 25-year time frame. I'll say this until it's not true anymore, which will be never. I'm really proud of the commission and the agency and the director for choosing that time frame. Historically, I think strategic plans were written more from, hey, what sort of budget and policy asks are we going to want to push for in this human constructed funding mechanism that we have called the legislature? And this one really, 25-year timeframe really allows us to start from a biological timeframe. I think it also provides some benefit of having flexibility in a span like that for what we're working on, what we need to ask for, really truly measuring biological responses to the actions to test them out and push hopefully for a more robust adaptive management through that 25-year timeframe. Admittedly, one of the big comments we got from staff initially was, hey, I don't see my work in there. That is something, having worked for the agency for 20 years and been through, you know, one or two strategic planning efforts, that is something that always comes up. It's a cultural thing, I think. We wanted to be very clear that from all of the internal staff meetings, feedback we got from all of the stakeholder interviews, meeting with the tribes, and interacting with you, that we wanted to make sure that we highlighted what needed to change. So what you'll see in this when we put it in your hands, or you already have the initial draft executive summary, is that we all know we still need to keep doing what we have been doing. This strategic plan is supposed to shine a light on some things that we haven't been doing that will make our jobs easier moving forward, more effectively moving towards successfully implementing our mandate, and or adding to some more focus and energy to things that we've been doing, but maybe not doing with enough focus or capacity to be successful. Again, as I mentioned, we did a ton of internal and external stakeholder work. So the next bullet, this one's really super important as a person inside the agency. I've been involved in too many conversations about, hey, I represent the fish and the wildlife because they don't have a voice or they don't vote, or hey, we just need to do whatever the public says we need to do. And so we wanted to really ground the agency, especially where the director's coming from, in that, you know, our mandate, our authority, our money all comes from the public that we serve and the interests they have. And as you know, that the what we're hoping to do with this plan and the actions moving forward is while we've had hunters and anglers and commercial fishers under the tent pretty robustly, we're trying to bring the rest of the public that we serve and that has interest, needs, and expectations of fish and wildlife and the stewardship of those under the umbrella with the traditional folks that we've served. So again, grounding it in, we serve the people, we get our authority from the people, we get our money from the people, and the people have diverse perspectives. And that's part of our job, is to navigate those diverse perspectives and meet as many needs and expectations as possible. So Rob is gonna jump in. We came up with five strategies based on what we heard in all of the interactions with stakeholders and staff and you. I want to just point out, one of the things we know we're gonna change is we use numbers for the strategies, and we're seeing that too many people may be getting hung up on the numbers and thinking that that's in some particular order of preference or priority. My reaction is all five of these strategies are all interconnected and have to do them all in order to really truly move the dial towards more effective implementation of our mandate. So with that, I'm gonna be quiet. And Rob, if you don't mind, kind of walking through. And again, commissioners, if you have any questions or want to make any points, please don't hesitate to hop in and stop us.
All right, thank you, Jeff. So when you get the next version, this will pretty much be the layout. In the forward there is where we kind of lay out the big picture, the world we expect to see over the next 25 years, and the importance of our work in helping improve the quality of life of the people of Washington. And then as we get into the overview and the introduction, that's where I'll address the 25-year time frame, the scope of, hey, we're trying to focus on the strategic changes we want to make instead of all our work. It'll also take you from the big picture vision, mission, goals, down to the five strategies that Jeff had talked about. And then also talk about the need for department performance measures to help us along the way. And then for each of the five strategies, we've developed narratives that attempt to capture, all right, in the future, what are those current challenges we think we're going to encounter? Or I'm sorry, current challenges and the ones we think we're going to encounter, as well as the opportunities to take advantage of. Out of that, what are the first things we think would be helpful to do? And we're calling those near-term actions. And we took a shot at what would be preliminary performance indicators to help us judge whether they're working or not. And then beyond the near-term actions, what do we see as farther steps we have to take to help achieve the goals of that strategy? And then for each strategy, we also take a shot at what would right look like at the end of 25 years? So what you'll see, we've attempted to cover all that for each of the five strategies. We also are experimenting with matrix form, so you'll get all of that in narrative. And we also, for each of the strategies, we created one separate matrix to have all that information on one sheet. And we're soliciting feedback from staff right now on how useful that might be. So just I'd like now to go over the five strategies and give you a summary of them. So this first one is really addressing improving our conservation outcomes, identifying what are our most significant needs and opportunities, better collaboration with our partners, and better helping land use decision makers, you know, consider conservation in their decisions. The second strategy is about connecting more broadly with all residents of Washington, in addition to our traditional anglers and hunters, especially the younger generation. And then also thinking about building staff capacity to do this better. Our third strategy is about helping the public better enjoy the opportunities that fish, wildlife, and habitat provide them. But also it asks, you know, for their help and how we can enhance those opportunities. It includes ideas like the Backyard Wildlife Program, education opportunities, providing better access to the public. The fourth strategy is about how can we better prioritize our science effort with the most pressing conservation questions. It's about increasing cross-discipline collaboration, increasing access to data, and increasing the use of community science. And then the fifth strategy is an internal look. How do we improve our internal operations? Better use of performance measures for adaptive management, increasing diversity, improving cross-program and cross-region synchronization, and also doing a better job of setting the example for environmental sustainability. So those are the highlights of the five strategies. And now I'd like to shift and tell you a little bit about what went into creating these. Back in September, we started with our senior managers to help generate ideas. What would the future we'd like to see look like? We put that into a document we called Desired Future. And that's the base we use when we went out to stakeholders, when we had workshops with staff to get their feedback on those initial thoughts. We then took all those thoughts and we heard a lot of common themes. And it was these themes that were the foundation for what went into the five strategies. Now, a little more detail on all that, just to show you all the input we received. That initial senior workshop I mentioned, that was about 120 of our senior managers. We've also had four meetings with this group here in an attempt to keep you informed and give you opportunities to provide us guidance along the way. We've had a couple meetings with our budget and policy advisory group, and we've got a third coming up here shortly. Jeff has also introduced this process to the Northwest Indian Fisheries Committee. And he's done the same with the Pacific Salmon Summit. We then went around the state in eight different workshops and involved 150 staff participating and sharing some of their time and thoughts with us. And then either our director and or Jeff, as our conservation policy director, participated in interviews with 18 different stakeholder groups. And that's from all that, we created these initial strategies and even had a smaller workshop with about 17 senior staff just to do a sanity check before we roll it out for initial review by all staff. So what's next now? So right now in April here, the draft plan's out for staff and executive management team review. In early May is when we want to try and integrate all those comments we've gotten. And then that revised plan, make it available to you as well as the budget and policy advisory group. And then later in May, give an opportunity for the public to provide review and comment. And then taking the revisions and recommendations we have, making decisions on what changes we need to make, and then coming back to you in June or coming back to the full commission in June to ask for their adoption of the plan. So that's what we have to share with you right now. Any questions at this point?
Yeah, Rob, just on the last slide there was sharing with the public. What's your recipe for that?
Okay, I was going to share slides here, but I think we have a, I'm pausing because I'm thinking of our communications plan. And I think at that point, one of it is going to be making it available on our website, for example, an announcement to public where they can go to see it, and then giving them a stretch of time to provide us comment back. Carrie, I know you helped with putting that plan together. Is there anything to add to that?
Yeah, it's actually a whole website, a whole web page that we anticipate having dedicated to this, and then a public survey, as you mentioned, Rob. But there would also be a social media campaign wrapped around that in order to drive people to the website, to the web page, and to the survey form. And then my approach was to kind of keep it pretty simple so that people don't have to wade through the whole plan to read it. Maybe they could go right to the survey and get to the nuts and bolts and be able to comment right there, because we are looking for, I mean, we have a whole separate process for getting additional feedback from our stakeholders who have been engaged along the way. But for the public, for those who maybe don't know us as well, or maybe aren't as invested, we want to make it a really low threshold for entry so that they can get in and participate, but maybe not have to wade through a lot of stuff to get to the meat. So we've been thinking about, Peggy and I, our graphic designer, have been thinking about the graphics that we'd need for that. And we also want to put some actual money behind promoting that to new audiences, to people we haven't really reached out perhaps to before.
That's a good idea.
So that would all take place in the, let's see, last part of May, last 2 weeks of May.
Thank you.
Kim and Don have a question.
Go ahead, Kim.
So my first question is, can we respond like staff to specifics in the document? I guess I've been a bit of an imposter because I listened to the presentation yesterday and I've been looking at the document now for about a week. I have comments. Can we make comments in the same way that the staff is, to use the comment slip? And I do have a couple that I'd like to raise now, but they're kind of specific to the document.
Jeff, I see your mouth moving.
Oops. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And
okay, well,
you know, if you guys have a desire to have this before we get all the staff feedback and incorporate that's fine with us too. We were just wanting to minimize how many versions we send your way for your reviewing and feedback.
Okay, well, what I'd like to do now is raise a couple of a little bit bigger things, and then I have some specific things that I'll write out. The first is, it was interesting to me that very often when we're talking about fish and wildlife, is it starts in the introduction, we say fish, wildlife, and shellfish. I was wondering why we selected shellfish as the only invertebrates to raise. You know, insects are in big trouble. In my arid lands, beetles are sort of like the plankton, and beetles are disappearing. Why have we selected shellfish? Why are we not just using fish and wildlife, which is sort of the generic catch-all? Why are we pulling out one group of invertebrates? And I realize it covers more than one phylum of of invertebrates, but it seems to me it would make sense to stick with just fish and wildlife as generic and not call out taxa in that way. So that's one comment, overview-wise. The second comment kind of relates to strategies 2 and 3. And the values conversation that we've been having. I appreciate that we're trying to be, to get out ahead and be proactive. So often we feel embattled reactive to all the different constituencies coming at us over the hot button issues. What feels missing to me is a strong statement of our institutional values. I mean, I'm not talking about our human resource values, empathy, respect, those. I'm talking about ones that reflect our mission of conservation and management of fish and wildlife, and the trusteeship of the public trust. We've been talking about, you know, the work that's looked at how public values around wildlife have changed, and they're kind of diametrical, and we kind of float back and forth between them. But we are the leaders in values around fish and wildlife. And I don't see that coming through. That, I mean, we understand that conservation of wildlife in this human-filled earth can only happen in the context of communities and that include humans and ecosystems, and we can't, we kind of waste resources doing it as single species and struggling over single species and that sort of thing. I would like to see just a stronger emphasis on the fact that we, as the leaders in fish and wildlife conservation and management, have values, and that's how we react to public values. It's hard for me to state, but anyway, that's as I read particularly strategies 2 and 3, that's where I get that reaction.
Okay, this is Barbara. I just want to say that I so agree with what Kim just said in terms of the public trust and our jobs as trustees of that public trust and all the people that will come after us. That is it's a good point. If you guys don't mind, if you could think about that, something about that should show up in the executive summary. I think it's embedded in there because to me it seems that this approach is basically making the point that we are the trajectory that we're on, given the pressures that we're under, is not even staying equal in terms of biodiversity and habitat and our fish and our wildlife. And so we need to pay attention to that and make the changes that will improve that situation. So in 25 years, we still have places to recreate and fish to fish and animals to hunt and see. I think that's sort of the basis of this document, but there is no strong line in there that says that's why we're doing this. I completely agree with Kim. You said it better than me, but I just wanted to throw that in there. Were there could other questions?
Could I jump in with a comment in response to that? Commissioner Baker, you'd made the statement about the trust over the resources, and that is one area where I always like to encourage anyone with the department and my colleagues in the Attorney General's office to be very intentional and sensitive with respect to the phrase public trust. In law, there is a concept called the public trust doctrine, which traditionally applies in Washington State, at least very narrowly, to the public's rights and usage of navigable waters. And in the past, there have been efforts by some interest groups to argue that the public trust doctrine and its unique common law principles apply to wildlife resources. There was a challenge to the anti-hound hunting and baiting law that argued that those initiatives violated the public trust doctrine. And the Court of Appeals said the public trust doctrine does not apply to the fish and wildlife resources, but even if it did, those initiatives wouldn't violate it. But it is still accurate to say that the agency manages our fish and wildlife resources in trust for the public, but it is not exactly the public trust doctrine. But similarly, it is not a fiduciary trust such as DNR exercises over management of, for example, school land. So there's a trust relationship, but it's a uniquely fiduciary trust relationship. So it's just a caution that as people talk about the trust concept, they'd be very, very careful in how things be phrased. And, I encourage folks to check in with us legal counsel in references to that trust responsibility to try to make sure that we keep things in the right lanes and alleys to not potentially invite additional legal challenges to how you do things. If our fish and wildlife resources were subject to the public trust doctrine under the common law as it's currently applied to navigable waters, I would argue that that would actually impose additional external constraints on your decision making and would invite opponents to urge courts to second guess your decision making, arguing that the public trust doctrine constrains some of your authority. So that's my point on that.
Which is exactly why we have lawyers on the call. Thank you, Joe. Did I hear somebody else had a question?
Don.
Yeah, this is Don. I have a couple of questions or comments on the substance, and then I wanted to follow up on Brad's question of the process and the public review part of it. So let me start with that latter one. I wondered if you could go back to that slide that shows what the process is from here on out. And I don't recall exactly how that was worded. So Rob, is there a way you could put that back up there?
Yes, I'm going to do that for you. Let's see here. Is that the slide you're looking for?
No, the one before that. Oh, wait. The one that has the process on it. May, June. There we go. That's it. So the early May time frame where the revised plan, so this I would think is the draft that is ready to go out for public review, except for some comments by the BPAG, the commission, and the tribes. So early May starts tomorrow, I guess, so that we must be pretty close to a draft. Kim mentioned a few things on substance. I'll mention two other things. Then we get to late May, the plan out for public review and comment. So we have a commission webinar on May 15th, and it would seem it would be good for the full commission to authorize the draft, to go out for public review. And it'd be good for the full commission to know what that draft is and have seen it. But I think it would be positive in my mind for the other five commissioners to, make a conscious effort to say, this is something we want to go out for public review. This is an important thing. It's got a 25-year time frame. It's got some important elements in here that are going to really dictate policy in a lot of ways, and so some sort of formality that it goes out for public review. June, we have a meeting that may be by webinar, maybe in Yakima. I don't know where that stands now, but it's the time frame of June 11th, 12th, and 13th, according to our way back original calendar, which is not very long after mid-May or late May. So something as important as this, I just wonder whether or not it's good for the public to have more time to look at it than a week or 2 weeks or whatever that is. And so I wonder whether or not we give the public enough time to have comment. We have the staff go through those comments, and if there are some excellent ideas or something that comes up, you have a note here of making revisions. And then the commission formally adopting a final plan. So seeing exactly what the final plan is. So I don't know. If you miss June, that means it's August, or July 31st and August 1st. But I think it's a good thing to have on here that the full commission adopts the final plan. And any recommendation from this committee would carry a lot of weight, obviously. So the essence of all that is, and Nikki, you're on the line. I don't recall if this is on the May 15th agenda or not. Is it? Do you recall? Or Barbara, do you recall?
Well, I'm pretty sure it isn't on the full commission agenda. Our plan was to have to get this document out to this committee and then have one more meeting where we go through it ourselves, address any concerns, and then make a recommendation or be able to at the next commission meeting make a recommendation. But I think what your point, Don, is that you think that the entire commission needs to somehow ratify the plan before it goes to the public for comment, because that will slow us down.
Yeah. It would slow us down, I guess, but that was my comment. And committees are not supposed to act on behalf of the full commission. And so something as important as this, that the committee is the one who releases a public review draft, seems a little procedurally out of order to me. Now, I'm not being sensitive enough on the time frames on this, but we're in discussion here, so I'll just throw that out.
Well, Don, I think the difference is that this committee would not be releasing anything for the public. That's up to Kelly and the staff, with the understanding that that needs to happen as soon as possible. I think what our role is to evaluate it, as when Kim was thinking, when she was talking about sort of the leaders of the values that go into these things, and recommending to the full commission whether this new plan should be adopted or not. I don't think we were going to trigger that release to the public. I guess I could refer to Nate or Jeff for that process question.
I guess it would be, if I've missed a step here and we've already delegated that whole piece of the process to the director, let me apologize for being out of sync on that.
Well, no, I don't think we ever, delegated is the wrong word. Actually, we spent a lot of time in those first few meetings talking about and sort of going through what the commission's specific role in the development of this new strategic plan is. And we talked specifically about whether the commission should drive the bus or not. That's the phrase that got thrown around. And I think I know that what we ultimately agreed to is that we wouldn't necessarily be driving the bus, but we would have a chance at the end of the process to, we would participate, we would be along for the ride, to extend the metaphor, but that we would have an opportunity, and that opportunity is coming to fruition now, to ratify or adopt this strategic plan. If we need to change that, if we could, it's kind of late for that now. I need to know from either Nate or Jeff that's your recollection of that as well.
Yeah, I guess, from my perspective, we do rulemaking a lot, right? Maybe I'm missing something on my experience with HPA rulemaking, but it's not like the commission has to take a vote for us to release the CR 102 draft language. And that's really, this, in my mind, unless I'm missing something, that this is comparative to that, where all we're doing is trying to get the best draft to send out to the public for review and comment. They're going to come to the full commission after the full commission's been able to digest the plan too, and provide, you'll get a presentation from us at the full commission. At that June meeting, we were also talking about public comment to the full commission with adoption, not at that meeting, but later. Maybe on a conference call, maybe on, August is a long time out. But we were also thinking that we wanted to get this in place so that it could play a heavy role in what the agency asks for in the next legislative session. And, quite frankly, now we're in COVID-19 land. So what we thought was going to be a normal process for us likely won't be. So I don't know. I think that's the commission call as to whether or not you want to go as formal as having the full commission say that we could release a draft document for public review and comment.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to remember back when this first came up, whether or not you mentioned the COVID thing, whether it was an April, June process or somewhere, I thought there was a little more to this. So anyway, I see Kim nodding when you're talking, so I'm probably a little bit out of the loop on some of this. Sorry. Something as important as a strategic plan, though, I think in the end, it would be good that the policy body of the department is knowledgeable about it and endorses it and thinks it's a good idea and knows all about it. And if that just happens in one step at the end, you know, I guess we still have to rely on people doing that. My comments on substance are very, very minor, really. In the executive summary, there's a couple of phrases in there that almost seem a little negative or apologetic. I don't know that we need to apologize for anything in the past. I can send you those that caught my eye. But one of the major things that Barbara has talked about throughout this whole process is a change in model and a change in the slight change in the paradigm. You know, you've spoken about the North American model. And nothing like that seems to show up in the executive summary. Maybe this is a little bit about what I was talking about too. It would be good if it's clear in the draft that this is a change of the paradigm and changing from one to the other, and why people shouldn't be afraid of what the change might be. So that's my input on the substance.
So
I don't know if Nikki's seen our hands there or not. I'm not sure.
I have
my hand raised. Can I go?
Yeah, go ahead, Gary.
I'll tell you that my thinking around this was that at that May 18th, I think, meeting is to introduce the strategic plan as an informational piece in our news releases associated with that meeting, and that would sort of kick off that public comment period. And so it not necessarily an action by the commission, but an update and informational piece stemming from that meeting.
Okay, Kim?
Sorry, it takes a minute to unmute. So I it was going to react a little bit to the process discussion that we're having. As I listened to the staff presentation yesterday and thought about the process that's been followed and the input that's been collected in the process, this is document that will guide the department through the next 25 years. And the department really is the staff. I love this department. I love my involvement with it. I'm very engaged on fish and wildlife conservation and preservation of biodiversity. But I will pass through. I have some strong feelings about where I want to see the department be and go and be in the next 25 years. But really, as I listened to the questions and everything yesterday, I was feeling, you know, this is fabulous. There was a lot of engagement, and it's their plan, really. Not gonna be guiding me for the next 25 years. It's gonna be guiding an institution that I care a whole lot about. So I do have something to say, but I hope that my response is at a fairly high level. So I'm just being supportive of the process as it's been and as it's laid out. And I just felt really good about the discussion yesterday and helping me to see that process. And it really is this plan is for the staff. They're the ones who are going to be carrying it out. So I appreciate the process, and I think the time crunch is important. By June, we'll be thinking a lot about going into the next biennium. We wanted this document to guide us. It's a crunch, and I appreciate all the work that your team has done, Jeff, to get us here. I am comfortable with how we're being involved at this point.
This is Barbara. I don't seem to be able to raise my hand, and I'm not sure why, but I wanted to go back 1 minute to Don's comment about the principles and just explain something to this committee, because we've talked in this committee about the principles of governance a few times. One or two meetings ago, we talked about whether we need a commission policy on the principles under which this agency conducts itself. And we authorized staff, and I believe that's Nate and Jeff, to take a first crack at developing a commission policy on governance, which is separate but should connect very carefully with the strategic plan. There was a draft developed, and I've looked at it. I sort of made the executive decision to wait on that based on the fact that we have a pretty good policy, not a commission policy, but an agency policy, and we've looked at it many times in the committee, which is 5004, which does dovetail and support this strategic plan quite well. So what I wanted to do is get through this, and this is, I think this could be one of the more important things we ever do as sitting commissioners, get through this and then return to the question of whether we need a policy, a commission level policy guidance on principles of governance. I will suggest that we do, but I thought that might give us something to do in the late summer and early fall, and not try to pile that on top of doing the strategic plan. So Don, I don't know if that answers your question, but that was the thought process that went into that. And then I have to admit, I'm a little envious. Kim, I think it is wonderful that you took the time to listen to the staff input. I would have liked to have done that, but I've heard from staff that I talked to that there's quite a bit of excitement and interest in this. We are doing something different. And so without trying to sound like a cheerleader, I'm looking forward to going through it in detail. I've looked at some advanced parts of it, and I'd like to ask Jeff if you could arrange to send it at minimum to this group, which is okay, I think, under the rules, very soon, so that we all have it and have a chance to comment.
Yeah, I'm happy to. Like I said a little while ago, just know that we're getting a lot of comments from staff too. So you'll see the version that they initially are commenting on, and that, you know, maybe that helps you track the changes that we made between this rough draft and the version that incorporates the staff feedback.
And I think that this is a fairly long and fairly dense document. I was happy to hear Carrie's discussion, which probably like to hear more on, I don't know if this is the right time, about having different versions of this thing available for different audiences. Not difference in substance, but difference in scope and sort of presentability for marketing purposes, for letting people know without having them read a big old long scientific document.
Could I just note, we have a question, I think, from an attendee, mostly noting that the time allowed for public discussion seems short. So I think we're kind of acknowledging the time crunch. Carrie has kind of indicated that she's aware of that and is going to try to facilitate public input broadly, but there is that question that's been noted in the question answer session.
And I do see that it's agenda item number 5 for the May meeting. It doesn't say public comment there. It just says briefing to the commission. So I think Commissioner Baker's explanation that some of these bigger paradigm shifts are something that is not in this strategic plan. Do I get that straight, that that's a separate topic for some other time, that it's not in this?
I'm sorry, Don, I answered my door, so I didn't hear the question if it was for me.
Well, I was thanking you for your explanation about this business of the North American model, changing models, big paradigm policy shifts. Did you say that's a subject of a completely separate effort and is not inside this 25-year strategic plan?
Whether the commission adopts principles of governance is a separate discussion. However, the reason that I didn't think we needed to pile that on top of this strategic planning at this time is that we have a department policy, an agency policy that dovetails quite well with what we're trying to do right now that we've all read and ratified several times. So we weren't even of one mind whether we needed to adopt a commission policy on principles. So that it seemed to me that we needed to do one or the other, and the important thing is to do what we don't have at all right now, which is a functional strategic plan. So that took priority.
I think those values are in this draft.
So do I.
Yeah. So whether they're specifically called out in the formatting of the document, it's definitely spread throughout. You know, fish and wildlife are we manage them in trust for the public. We get the public involved, we engage with the public, you know, we serve the hunters and anglers, that's all in here. So I think that if and when you guys decide to take action on, your own conservation policy that would guide your decision making and direction for the agency, well, we could always go back in and insert that in the strategic plan as well. So anyway.
So is there anything that anybody, commissioners or staff, want to conclude this discussion with? And that's a prefatory question too. Is there anybody from the public on that would like to ask a question or either orally or in writing? Jeff, you got to answer for the staff for the department. Are we done with the presentation?
Yeah, I think Carrie was going to talk a little bit more about the outreach and the community communication piece around the strategic plan and any other updates she had.
Can we take questions on the plan itself from the public if there are any, just for a couple of minutes? I don't know that there are. Nikki, are you keeping track of that?
I am. I don't see any hands raised, and I don't see anything in the Q&A or the chat function.
Great. Okay. Well, then let's head on to Carrie then.
And most of what I was going to say, we've all already covered in conversation. We are just considering, I would mention that we've been testing different public I want to say survey, but feedback mechanisms over the past year, and we have been considering whether this is one of the items that we'd like to try one of the new technologies with. So we're looking at potentially piloting a new technology around the strategic plan in order to be able to slice and dice what we're hearing from constituents just a little bit better than what a standard survey such as a SurveyMonkey feature would give you. So that's the only piece we haven't covered already.
Let's cover it.
I just did. That was it.
What is the new technology that you're talking about?
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I want to say Smart Comment is the name of the technology. So it's we have some funding we were able to get to help us test this technology, and it looks really promising. So we're excited to try it. Wait. Oh, wait, I had a message. Someone was phoning a friend helping me out.
You had a lifeline.
Public input. The name of it is public input. Thank you. Smart Comment, we have been trying over the last year, and then we're going to try this new technology to public input and just see if that meets our needs.
So Brad, you've been real quiet this whole meeting. Do you have any initial reactions to what you've heard?
No, I think it's progressed the way I wanted it to. I appreciated Kim's comments and also the procedural steps, how you outlined them. I think we're on track. I do reiterate the public part of that, the public comment, but it'd be interesting to see how all that plays out with the new steps that we're doing. But I feel comfortable.
So, Jeff, given the underlying concern about not having enough time for the entire public to review the draft once it is out there, can you remind us of when you guys were thinking of pulling that trigger? It says early May. Early May could be, there's a 2-week time period that could be, and perhaps that would make Don feel a little more comfortable with how we're progressing.
Yeah, so right now we have, I think, staff comment period through May 6th. We are trying to, we're documenting all those that we get when we get them and trying to highlight the areas that we would incorporate those into the draft that I will send you in a few minutes. And then we have to turn that around pretty quick. We also are going to have a BPAG, I think, on the 7th. So we'll have BPAG feedback. Our intention was then to get you and the full commission the draft that had all that feedback already incorporated in before your May meeting. Mm-hmm. So if the Big Tent said, you know, go forth, or if you guys want to talk about it at the full commission and just give us the nod that, you know, we're authorized to release it, you know, then we're still, that's not early May, that's mid-May.
Mm-hmm. You know, Barbara, one comment, add-on, that we've all been through this process in a lot of different lives, you know, and I think what's always critical is that sometimes it just keeps going on and on. My experience is that you do have to stop at some point, you know, and you have to say, this is what we've done. And I just throw that out as my experience, that this could be the never ending story when you're doing a strategic plan, and that doesn't serve anybody.
So then if we agree with that, my next question is, the way that I looked at this is that we would have scheduled another Big Tent Committee meeting to go through the plan, which we're going to get in the next day or two or hours in detail, and then make a recommendation to the full commission about adoption or not, and then take public comment at that same meeting, sort of the same way we usually do things. My question to the fellow commissioners is whether you think that is a necessary step, or should we simply get the plan, have our own thoughts, make our own comments, and discuss this again with the full commission in mid-June, sorry. Do we need another big tent committee meeting? I sort of think we do, but I'm happy to avoid it if that's the will of the committee.
I'm fine either way. Yeah.
Kim or Don?
Why don't we tentatively plan on a big tent committee meeting in conjunction with the May meeting, because at that point, it's Jeff's hope to have the revised document to us for a day or two, I think is what you're predicting, Jeff. We could promise to take a look at that, and if we had any real concerns, go ahead with the meeting to have a discussion before it's on the board agenda in May. But we could make it tentative. We've had a good discussion now. I think we have an opportunity to give a little bit more input. And it could be if we found a red flag or something like that.
Don, what do you think? Did we lose Don?
No, there I am. Let me get myself unmuted here. I was just looking at the, well, first of all, let me say I'm the junior member of the committee here, and I'll go along with whatever the committee wants here. I was just checking to see if the other committees that are meeting in conjunction, so to speak, with the May 15th meeting, I see Habitat, Wolf, Wildlife, and Fish, whether there's room for a big tent committee there or not. So I'm just going to say I'll go along with whatever the will of the committee is.
I love that.
And I'll add there probably is not going to be a Wolf committee meeting. We're having one next week, and hopefully we'll take care of that business and not have to schedule one in a week or so. So that would leave some space.
Well, I think we have a sort of a draft proposal now for the way the process should go for the next few weeks. And I want to say I'm really glad, Carrie, that you are on this call, and I hope that you you continue as we go through this, because rollout is going to be extremely important. And it's nice to have you there. Jeff, I know how much work you've done, and Rob and Nate. So how about if we give ourselves an extra 20 minutes and adjourn this committee meeting and think about things and talk when we get the plan. Is that okay with everybody?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys soon. I can't wait to hear what you think. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.